All right, so get this. We're going deep on a source you wouldn't think of for wellness advice.
Oh.
The Bible.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know, right? Dusty scriptures, right?
Right.
But what if I told you this old book has some surprisingly relevant tips for living a really thriving life today? In the modern world, I mean.
Well, the fascinating thing about the Bible's approach to wellness is it doesn't just focus on like one part of us.
Right.
It addresses the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual,
Okay.
recognizing that they're all connected.
Okay, so it's not just about like eating your veggies and saying your prayers.
Exactly. It's about understanding that true well-being, it covers every part of our lives.
So let's unpack this, starting with the physical wellness side.
Okay.
One of the first things that jumps out from the Bible is this idea of our bodies as temples. What's that all about?
Right. So in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20,
Okay.
it says, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Go
It's
ahead.
a powerful image.
Yeah.
It emphasizes how sacred our physical selves are.
So it's not just about my body, my choice,
It challenges that mindset.
which we hear a lot these days.
Yeah. The Bible teaches we're stewards of our bodies,
Okay.
not absolute owners. We've been given the responsibility to care for them.
So that raises the question then,
Yeah.
what does it actually look like to be a good steward of our physical health?
Yeah.
Does the Bible give us any clues about that?
It certainly does.
Okay.
Well, think about it this way.
Okay.
If our bodies are temples,
Yeah.
wouldn't we want to keep them clean, strong, functioning well?
That makes sense. It's
Yeah,
like you're taking care of a sacred space, not just a temporary dwelling.
exactly.
Okay.
And this stewardship, it extends to everything.
Wow.
What we eat and drink, how much we exercise, how we manage stress.
I'm starting to see how these ancient principles can apply to our lives today.
Right.
But it makes me think about another verse,
Yeah.
3 John 1:2.
Okay.
Where it talks about wishing someone well in both body and soul. Is that just a nice sentiment, or is there more to it? A deeper connection.
It highlights the interconnectedness of our physical and spiritual well-being.
Okay.
The Bible doesn't see them as separate. They're interwoven, you know, parts of who we are.
So it's not just about going to the gym to get a six-pack. It's about recognizing that our physical health is tied to something bigger.
Exactly.
Clear.
And that brings us to another interesting verse,
Okay.
Proverbs 3:7-8.
Okay.
It says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, this idea of fear can be tricky, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It sounds a little intense.
Yeah, the fear here, it's more like reverence and obedience.
Yeah.
It's about aligning our lives with God's principles,
Okay.
recognizing that He knows what's best for us.
So it's not about living in terror,
No.
but living in a way that honors what's good and true.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this verse suggests that this alignment, it brings health and nourishment, and not just
Wow.
spiritual, but physically too.
So I've heard about the mind-body connection. You know how our thoughts and emotions can actually like impact our physical health?
Right.
Is that what this verse is getting at?
It definitely aligns with that concept.
Okay.
When we live in a way that, you know, is consistent with our values and purpose,
Yeah.
it brings a sense of peace and order
Right.
that can have a good impact on our overall well-being.
It's like those studies that show how stress and anxiety can weaken our immune systems.
Exactly.
If you're constantly battling inner turmoil, it's got to take a toll on your body.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And speaking of inner turmoil,
Okay.
Proverbs 17:22, it hits on something I think we can all relate to. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
It's a simple but profound truth, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those verses that just makes you smile.
Right.
Even if you're feeling down,
Yeah.
like, yeah, laughter really has good medicine.
Yeah.
What about those times when life throws you a curveball and it's hard to find that cheerful heart?
That's where the spiritual dimension comes in.
Okay.
The idea that we can draw on a source of strength and hope that's bigger than ourselves.
Right.
But we'll get into that more next time.
Okay.
Before we move on, though,
Yeah.
there's one more verse I want to touch on about physical wellness
Okay.
for Timothy 4:8.
Okay.
It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
So it's not saying that physical health is unimportant. It's just putting it into a bigger context.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's a reminder that while taking care of our bodies is valuable,
Yeah.
it's not the ultimate goal.
Right.
Our physical well-being, it should be pursued within the framework of a life lived for something greater.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the body as a temple, the connection between body and soul, and the importance of aligning our lives with God's principles for true physical well-being. But what about the mental and emotional side of things?
Yes.
Does the Bible have anything to say about that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you could say that the Bible is full of wisdom on navigating the complexities of our minds and emotions.
Hmm.
So, for example, let's talk about anxiety, something I think we all deal with.
Oh, yeah.
In today's world.
Tell me about it. My to-do list sometimes gives me anxiety.
Right.
So what wisdom from back then can help us handle this modern problem?
Well, Philippians 4:6-7 gives a powerful suggestion.
Okay.
It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so peace that surpasses all understanding.
Right.
That sounds pretty great, especially when my understanding is usually to freak out about everything.
Right.
But what is that kind of peace? What does that even look like?
It's not just about feeling calm. It's about a deep sense of trust and security, even when things are chaotic.
Okay.
It's about knowing we're not alone, that we have a higher power to help us.
So it's not about ignoring problems or pretending everything's fine.
Right.
It's about facing them, but from a different perspective.
Exactly.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that this idea of peace through connection with something bigger than ourselves,
yeah,
it kind of lines up with a lot of mindfulness practices we see today.
You know, you're right. Mindfulness is about being present in the moment, letting go of worrying about the past or the future.
Right.
It's almost like the Bible was onto something way back then.
Yeah, there are parallels.
Yeah.
And speaking of mindfulness, Philippians 4:8, it gives us some pretty practical advice for our thoughts.
Okay.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
So isn't that basically cognitive behavioral therapy? Like way before its time.
Mm.
It's about focusing on the positive.
Yeah, the Bible emphasizes the power of our thoughts over and over.
Okay.
Like Romans 12:2, it puts it this way.
Okay.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's realizing we can choose how we see things and what we focus on.
So it's not just positive thinking though, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's more about aligning our thoughts with what's actually good and true.
Exactly. Huh. And that leads us to another powerful verse, 2 Timothy 1:7.
Okay.
It says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Those are some big words.
Right.
Power, love, self-control.
Yeah.
Sounds like how to be a superhero, not just get through your day.
It's about those resources inside us
right.
that God gave us
yeah.
to deal with life's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Power means resilience, yeah. bouncing back from tough times.
Right.
Love is the basis for healthy relationships, a sense of belonging.
Okay.
And self-control lets us manage our emotions and impulses wisely.
So it's not just about willpower then. It's about something deeper.
Precisely.
Mm.
These are gifts from God.
Okay.
Not something we have to come up with on our own.
Right.
And they're super important for mental and emotional well-being.
Okay, before we go on to spiritual wellness,
okay.
there are two more verses I have to bring up that I find really interesting.
All right.
Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
These verses show the power of our inner world.
Okay.
What we let into our hearts and minds, what we focus on.
Yeah.
It shapes our lives.
Right.
It's a reminder to be mindful of what we take in, guard our hearts against negativity, and cultivate trust and faith.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Like if we're always surrounded by negativity, it's going to affect us.
Absolutely.
But if we focus on good, true, beautiful things.
Right.
That helps build that inner peace.
Right.
And that leads us to spiritual wellness.
Okay.
Which is, in many ways, the foundation for everything else, according to the Bible.
Okay, so we've talked about physical and then mental and emotional well-being, all from what the Bible says.
Right.
I'm seeing how this ancient stuff really has advice for living a good life even today.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So let's dig into that more.
Okay.
When we talk about spiritual well-being in the Bible,
yeah.
where do we even start?
Well, one of the most famous verses about that is Matthew 6:33.
Oh, okay.
It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
I've heard that before.
Right.
But I gotta admit, it always seemed kind of vague.
Yeah.
What does seek first the kingdom of God actually mean?
It's about making God's will your top priority.
Okay.
Realizing our purpose isn't in stuff or success.
Right.
Even our own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But in living a life that shows God's values and honors him.
So it's like giving up our selfish wants and finding a higher purpose.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is when we do that, when God comes first,
yeah,
everything else falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
Not like magically easy,
right?
But in a way that makes life meaningful and fulfilling.
It's like that saying, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Right.
It's shifting to see the world spiritually.
And that shift is shown beautifully in John 15.5,
okay,
where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
I love that image of the vine and branches.
Yeah.
Like being connected to something bigger, getting strength from it.
Exactly.
So abiding in Christ, what does that mean practically?
It means staying connected to him.
Okay.
Through prayer, Bible study, and living by his teachings.
So more than just doing religious stuff.
Right. It's a genuine connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have that,
yeah,
we see what Galatians 5.22-23 calls the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay, what's that?
It describes them as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Wow. That's a lot. Who wouldn't want more of those things? But self-control, man, that one's always tough for me.
The key is those fruits don't come from our own strength. They're from the Holy Spirit working in us.
Okay.
So as we follow God and let him change us,
yeah,
we start to show those fruits naturally.
So it's not about forcing ourselves to be good.
No.
But letting a higher power work through us.
Exactly. And that brings us to studying God's word.
Go ahead.
Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
When I think of meditation, I usually picture like someone sitting all zen chanting.
Right.
But meditating on God's word, what's that look like?
It's not emptying your mind,
right,
but filling it with truth.
Okay.
It's reading the Bible, thinking about it, applying it to life, letting it shape our thoughts, choices, actions.
It's like taking time to really understand the spiritual stuff, not just reading it without absorbing it.
Exactly. And remember, we're not alone in this.
Right.
James 1.5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him.
That's good to hear.
It is.
We can always ask God for help.
Yeah.
Especially when we're lost.
Absolutely. And as we seek his wisdom,
yeah,
our spiritual well-being grows,
okay,
and affects every part of our life.
Wow. So we've covered physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being all from the Bible.
We have.
It's amazing how this ancient book so has so much to say about life today.
It's a testament to the power of God's word.
Yeah.
It speaks to what humans deeply want.
Yeah.
Offering guidance, hope, and a path to really thriving.
This deep dive has been incredible.
Yeah.
I feel like I understand the Bible in a whole new way now.
It's been great exploring this with you.
Okay.
I hope our listeners are inspired to look into these verses more themselves,
yeah,
and see how powerful God's word can be.
We've just scratched the surface here.
We have.
But it's clear that the Bible is full of wisdom on living a well-rounded life.
Yes.
It's not about rules.
No.
But about a way of life that leads to really flourishing.
And as we wrap up, I'd like to leave everyone with this thought.
Okay.
If the Bible, written so long ago, still speaks to us today,
yeah,
offering deep insights into well-being,
mm,
what does that say about truth itself?
Right.
Is there a timeless wisdom,
yeah,
that goes beyond trends and fads? Something to think about as you keep exploring.
That's a great question to end on.
It is.
We want to hear your thoughts on this deep dive.
Yes.
Share them with us on social media, leave a review, or visit our website.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time, keep searching, keep learning, and keep diving deep.